The second best thing about Steve, besides being a grace preacher, is he's another Alabama fan. And so, Steve, we have a...
Thanks, Brother Steve. Whoa. And what sign is it thou wilt show us? Okay, now I see it. Great. Okay, it is always great being here at these conferences. Good seeing old faces, new faces, those in between. And Navarre Beach. Is there something I need? Okay, Navarre Beach. I mean, be at each and every one of these conferences that you can, and even those you can't. They're such a blessing. And speaking of Navarre Beach, now you know why we don't have a conference south of Baton Rouge, because I don't know if that's New Orleans or New Orleans or Nolens or how do you say that? So, okay. No, it is good being with you today. Proverbs chapter 22. I've noticed that the theme this morning is we do not start in Paul's epistle, so Proverbs 22. Also notice another theme today, or this morning, seems to be around the teaching of children. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I think a 1 month old back here, maybe not even 1 month. And it's just something about children and grandbabies, and I think we saw yesterday on the way here that our granddaughter just crawled for the first time yesterday. So just a good time to start off with children and training up a child in the way he should go. Now while we're here in this chapter, it just kind of makes sense. Maybe there's another verse or two we can grab. How about 15? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Wow. Now, I'm sure nobody in here has ever seen that before. But gang, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That's just what the verse says. Proverbs chapter 1, before we leave this book. I'm just thinking of what things might I teach a child. Might start with chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Child, never forget that. Parents, never forget that. On our way to maybe some of those Pauline epistles, how about 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Couldn't help but notice, Steve, during the song, How Great Thou Art. This is now 3 months in a row I have heard that song. Interestingly enough, the last 2 months it was at a funeral. And interestingly enough, it was a Catholic funeral. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit. But absolutely one of my favorite songs as well, brother. I love that song. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And on he goes here and starts talking about divisions. And if we look at the whole book of 1 Corinthians, and of course we started out training up a child, and now we're seeing Paul referring to these people in verse 1 as babes in Christ. So maybe every one of us at some point in our walk might be considered a child, a babe. And let's just see what maybe determines where we are in our spiritual walk. Well, of course, if we were to start in chapter 1, we might see one activity that might cause some divisions between people. If we were to continue in this chapter, matter of fact, let's go to the chapter, before we go to chapter 10, let's come to 2 Timothy. Let's just get revved up a little bit first and then come back to some of the things we might teach. So if I was teaching a young child chapter or 2 Timothy chapter 1, I might just go right to verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Wow, that's interesting. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Well, those are some things I definitely might want to teach that young child. Absolutely, for sure. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Some more things I might be real sure to train up that child. Let's just go right through this book. It just happens to be the last book written by this guy, Paul. Just happened to write 13 of the 27 books in your New Testament, as the way they lay out this book. Where's the math majors? I believe 13 divided by 27, is that not just about half? Half of this New Testament, and yet the most ignored books in the entire Bible. Chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I'd sure drill that into the head of any young child of whom I had any responsibility. Great, great verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. Ah, I fooled you. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Think about teaching this to a young child. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. I said young children. How about middle-aged children? How about babes in Christ teaching these things? Verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Wow, that's quite a phrase right there. The snare of the devil. Who are taken captive by him at his will. I think I'd send a few warning flags up the flagpole right there with those children to whom I had any responsibility. Maybe even the babes in Christ to whom we had some responsibility. Chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And where I'm going is 16 and 17 here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We want our children to be perfect according to this passage. We want our babes in Christ to be perfect according to this passage. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What if I were to go back to chapter 1? Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So all Scripture is given. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Wow. Now this can go a whole lot of directions, can it? Depending on where you're studying. Well, let's just come down and keep reading. Let's see, verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of servants. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We see it right there. Fornication and all these things. You got to dress up this flesh a little bit. You can even put Alabama shirts on to try to really make it look good. And that's how some preachers are going to take this, aren't they? Everybody's saying, where's he going with this passage, right? I think I skipped a verse when I went back. Let's start in verse 6 again. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Here's what I skip. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Idolatry? In the context? Matter of fact, let's go down to where we ended. Verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So yeah, when I have that urge to go into that bar, I'm going to get a way to get around it. When I see something over there that I lust after, I'm going to be able to get around it so I can dress up the flesh. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters. Now let's get the whole phrase in here. It's all the religious activities from page 1 in this Bible up until this point. There's your evil things in this Bible. All this stuff people think they can do, as if we could impress God Almighty. All this stuff people do to try to get good enough to please God Almighty. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Wow. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians, we're here in 10. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Of course, you know that's verse 3 right there. It says so in big. Anybody needs the glasses, I guess you can borrow them. But verse 3, which I also received. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. They received it. They received it. By the way, today just happens to be the, I don't know what anniversary, but it is the signing of the Constitution. Something else we might want to teach our children a little better is what the Constitution does say. Let's stick to teaching them what the King James Version says. But it is the anniversary of the signing of the Constitution. We have an election coming up in 52 days. How many people are planning to vote? That's a lot of hands right there. Wow. How many people voted 4 years ago? That's a lot of hands right there. Just curious, when you voted 4 years ago, did you have to show maybe a voter ID card or registration card? How many people had to show one of those? Is there anybody in here that did not have to show one of those? Just about three out of the whole group. Okay. How many people are planning to show one of those this time when they vote this year? Most of the hands going up. But you have to have that card, right? So how many of you have received those cards already? Come on, put your hand up there. All of a sudden, people are getting timid. Did I receive it or not? You know if you received that card, do you not? Is there anybody here who's not sure if they received their voter ID card? Okay, so what are you probably, if you did want to vote, and I'm even going to pick on you here just a little. If you did want to vote, what are you probably going to do when you go back? You're going to do the requirements to receive your voter ID card, right? You're going to go down and register, however it is in your state, to receive, to get that voter ID card so that you now meet the requirements, if you will, to vote on, what is it, November 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, thank you. 52 days from now. You'll do it. But you know if you received it, don't you? One of the things I might really encourage the babes in Christ, whether they're in this room or with whom I'm entrusted with, is to make sure that they know if they've... Let me change that. To make sure they know when they received the gift, the free gift of salvation. So yes, I'm making a play on words here, but you understand, we know if we receive that card or not. If we're not sure, we're going to go back and search. Matter of fact, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Second Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you have your voter ID card, and if you don't, make sure you do what you have to have it if you really want to vote this year, 52 days from now. Now again, I'm making an example here. It does say, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Definition of reprobates, worthless. In a person in this room worth the gunpowder to take to blow us into hell? Romans chapter 3 says there's how many good? None. And then in case we ever miss that, then it says, no, not one, in case we thought that didn't mean us. Like I say, even with an Alabama shirt on, Brother Steve, there is a moment when we receive, just like the day we received that voter registration card in the mail, we received it, we know it, that settles it, I can vote. There is a moment in time, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let's go back there, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, notice that verse 2 is actually in parentheses. Paul has a pretty good way throughout his writings when he really needs a thought to be clarified, to stand out, and he puts them in parentheses. Watch this, something really important here. Verse 2, for he saith, so I'm in 2 Corinthians 6, 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now, underline that word now, you'll see it twice in here. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Back to 1 Corinthians 15. When did you receive this thing that he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians 15? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Make no mistake, this is the gospel of Christ. It just so happens that term, the gospel of Christ, shows up in a King James Bible 11 times. All other perversions of the Word of God, it shows up 10 times. What is the one time they all leave out? It just happens to be the first time that Paul uses the term gospel of Christ. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Every other perversion, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God." And you wonder why people think it's the same gospel throughout the Bible. Wow. 11 times it shows up, and it's only in Romans through Philemon. You never see it before the book of Romans. You never see it after the books of Philemon, the term gospel of Christ. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." And do not let your Bible say, "Ye will be saved." Wrong perversion of the Word of God. Ye are saved. "If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, the gospel of Christ, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Assuming you received it. When did you receive it? You know, we read that verse about examining yourselves, and I can't help but with this shirt on in particular and being on college game day, think about that word, received. Today, people are going to be watching games and we're going to see some. As a matter of fact, today's the Ole Miss Alabama game, and you know there was quite a reception 2 years ago by one of those. Actually, it wasn't the Alabama game. I believe Ole Miss was playing Auburn. But an amazing reception, and the young man gets right to the goal line, and Auburn guy cracks him on the back of his legs and broke his ankle right there, and the guy fumbled. And of course, they called it a touchdown, though, but they examined the play thoroughly with replay and found out that he fumbled that ball like 2 inches before the goal line. They examined it. Also, there's rules of the game. Receptions, receiving a ball. Today we're watching college football. Tomorrow we're watching pro football. There's going to be some great receptions. You see a ball coming and he catches it foot in bounds and then he steps out. Great. Reception. That met the rules of the dispensation in which we're playing on Saturday. The rules are 1 foot in bounds. And many times they still examine to see, let's make sure he got 1 foot in. Yep, he did. Okay, that's a good reception. That counts. Tomorrow, think about the guys that graduated from last year playing that Saturday game, college football, and now they're playing pro ball. And they make another great reception, get that first foot in bounds, second one out. Ref says incomplete. Doesn't count here. What do you mean? Last year that was a great reception. That was a different administration. That was a different dispensation in which you were playing on Saturdays. Welcome to the pros. And I don't care how upset you get. Wrong dispensation, wrong rules. And the head official is saying, as long as you're playing on my field, you're going to play by the rules of this dispensation, the professional football rules. And same thing, we're going to have some of those. Did he have it or didn't? I don't know. Let's get the instant replay and let's look at it from this angle. That they examine it thoroughly. I encourage you to examine this thoroughly. Did you receive it or did you not? You know that you know that you know when you received it. The same thing that man and that man preached the night I got saved. I couldn't figure out when I received it. I'd always believed it. I'd always been religious. I knew I wasn't any good, but I was trying to do all these things back here and, you know, trying to go to church most Sundays and train up a child. I'll never forget one lady, I'll just leave it at that, saying, "Boy, I wish they'd find a church somewhere to go to." And we're like, "No! Don't just find a church. Somebody else trying to find them a church didn't even have a King James Bible in it. I'm thinking, you're going to tell them to go there? You know better than that. Religious activities don't count because there's how many good? None. In case we didn't think that was us, I've heard Brother Brian Sipes say so many times, no, not one. When did you receive it? When did you receive it? And the reason it's important, because if it is that unclear that you've got to go examine it thoroughly and you're trying to figure something out, you know, I'm watching the replays. By the way, watch that replay. It's a glorious event of when you received your gospel, the day you received the gospel of Christ, the gospel of your salvation. You should celebrate that every time you can. Something I might train up a child to once that day of salvation. Let's replay that so they know that they know that they know, and not let anybody confuse them down the road. Because 2 Thessalonians, let's turn there. Always been amazed at this passage, speaking of receptions, incomplete passes, receiving it not. Verse 10 says of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and with all, I'm jumping into the middle, but and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Well, why do they perish? Because they received not. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Because they received not the love of the truth they might be saved, they perish, according to that verse. Wow. It matters. When you received matters, not the fact when it was, but the fact that you know you received it. You know it was a complete pass according to, I hate to say the rules, but I'm going to say the rules of the dispensation in which you live. We live in the dispensation of the grace of God, Ephesians chapter 3. The way to salvation in the dispensation. Why do we study to show thyself? You know, here's the other thing for the child, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, gospel of your salvation, Ephesians 1:13, so that we follow the right way to salvation today. The rules of this dispensation. It is the gospel of Christ. Right there. There is no other way. That's the only way. And there's a moment that you received it. That it's coming through. You received it. Both feet in bounds. It's a good reception. Yep, you're saved. Not only are you saved, Ephesians 1:13 says that we are sealed. And Ephesians 4:30 tells us exactly how long that is. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. Praise God. Amen. Nothing you can do to gain it. Nothing you can do to lose it. Just receive it. Just receive it. Now, one last thing that I would teach those young children. Why are people missing this? And 2 Thessalonians chapter 11, one more verse. And something else, another theme that's been going on very strong today, this morning. Second Corinthians. Where were you all going? Just making sure y'all are paying attention. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Why do people miss this? Why do people get confused? Other than if they're, you know, if you're not rightly dividing, it's just there's so much confusion. There's 300 and some denominations that'll be meeting tomorrow, and they're going to be following 15 different dispensational rules, if you will, for the game. Some will say tongues are for today. Some will not. Some will say baptism's for today. Some will say, well, it depends on if you're an infant, if you're mid, did you get fully dunked? I mean, the rules go on and on and on. Follow the rules for the dispensation of the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 3, we went through the gospel of Christ. Now, why are people so misled and so confounded? It's verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And how does he do that today? Just the way the serpent did back there in Genesis chapter 3, first three words, yea, hath God, first four words, yea, hath God said. And he attacked the word of God, as do the other perversions of the word of God. 1 John 5:17, love that one when you go through that and look at the other perversions. They all have verse 7 in there. They all have the disclaimer, but none of them have anything. Either they take the end of verse 6 and put it in there, or they take the beginning of verse 8 and put it in there so that they have a verse 7. Check it out. Unbelievable. The deception. It's just a little thing. It's a huge thing. Galatians 2:7. The gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the circumcision. Change it to gospel to the circumcision, gospel to the uncircumcision. You wonder why there's confusion today. Those are the things that go on. It is up to us that have matured in Christ to make sure we're teaching all babes in Christ, no matter what age that might be. 1 month old back here, they might be 70 years of age and still a babe in Christ. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I would have also included back there Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Those are the things we need to be teaching. Thank you.